We have some very special guests who are going to be with us here in just a moment. But Gary, you know, one of the things that you and I set out to do when we set our program up in 1998 was, of course, to answer people's questions. As a matter of fact, that's how the program was born, was you're answering my questions about getting connected to the internet that's and staying connected. But in addition to that, one of the other things we thought was important at that time, and still do, is to highlight companies that have grown up here in the state of Michigan.
That's right. We want to help people have a better online experience, right. Not only how they connect, how they use the internet, but then also promoting technology here in the local area. And sometimes we expand local to anybody on the internet because we've had people from all over the world come onto the show. But we primarily highlight technologies that are born and managed and grown here in Michigan, southeastern Michigan, and the Midwest.
And that is one of the things behind the guest that we have today, a very special, matter of fact, two people. Ron and Kay Wilmers are from Lapeer, Michigan. Found out about them just recently. I'm choked with emotion here. They have discovered, or perhaps created, a site called The Disabled Traveler. And I was delighted to welcome them to our program. Ron and Kay, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Well, thank you for having us.
Kay and Ron are two people who have, because of their own life experience, decided that they wanted to focus on helping people who are disabled to be able to enjoy traveling around the country as they have. And in addition to that, face the fact that there are a number of us, some of us in studio here, who as we have gotten older, face more challenges as we travel. Now, by the way, Ron and Kay, none of them here are giving me eye contact right now. They don't want to admit that that's the case, but that is true as well, isn't it, Ron?
They're looking at their shoes, aren't they?
That's true, but it is the case that as we get older, some of the things we used to do in terms of traveling, whether it's hiking around or whatever, become more of a challenge as we get older, and knees and hips don't function quite the way they used to. And you folks have begun responding to that, but let's step back a little bit and talk about where this all began for you folks. Ron, maybe you want to start.
All right. Well, this is just based on our own experiences in life, you might say. I ended up in a wheelchair in 1977, and before that, we would travel with the kids on the back roads of America, we call it, to different places, national parks, things like that. So being in a wheelchair, we still were putting that on the front burner. And then we still did that, and we would end up going to the national parks with either a tent, staying at a motel, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that we noticed, that there were not many other people, hardly any, that we ever saw that had a very visible disability, like myself, in a wheelchair. So we kept thinking about this and thinking about that, and we found out, when we tried to find out information on accessibility, no matter where you went, it was very, very limited, or if it even existed. So we took it upon ourselves to form a nonprofit here, and the nonprofit is dealing with national parks featuring the accessibility features of a national park, because the parks themselves are, they got more than they can handle.
Oh, yes.
They're $12 billion behind in infrastructure and everything like that. The 100th anniversary is coming up here August 25th, I believe.
Wow.
So you have these things developing, but we're finding out that they need a little bit of help, I'm hoping, is that we would like to take their accessibility features and then put them on our website. And by doing this, we're sort of expanding the knowledge that they, or the attractions that they have, so that people that have a disability or age-related difficulty can sort of get a preview of what's waiting for them at the other end. Because a lot of people now, like I just heard this, I don't know, a lot of people do not travel that have a disability because they fear the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Why travel there when you don't know what to expect?
And I think the other thing, too, is that there are people who have enjoyed traveling, who have gotten older and, for instance, may have had a knee replacement or a hip replacement or something like that, but they'd love to continue traveling. Kay, you worked as a long time as a home care nurse, am I right?
Correct.
What were some of the insights that you bring to this whole disabled traveler?
Well, what I've seen is the people who are staying inside, their depression is getting to the point where, they fear going out.
Right.
And then, when they do have the ability to travel, they seem to perk right up and they enjoy mm-hmm. and telling about what they've seen and everything. It seems to be it's a life-lifting experience for most people that do travel.
I love it. That's a very good point. It's not just about the mechanics of getting one place or another, but that really is a quality of life issue, isn't it?
Right. Right.
Ron, one of the things that surprised me, and I guess I shouldn't have, those darn baby boomers. That's us.
Yeah.
The baby boomers are going to be having, if they haven't already had, a tremendous economic impact precisely as these, if you will, disabled or older travelers.
Yeah, yeah. They have a lot of money, for one thing, to spend. And by a study that I have here in front of me, in 2017, they said adults over 50 will be controlling a full 70% of all disposable cash.
Wow.
In the United States. 2022, the baby boomer generation will have inherited as much as $15 trillion.
And that was with a T, trillion dollars.
And the one thing about this is that, surprising that less than 5% of advertising targets this generation. Now, that's not including the people with a disability.
Mm-hmm.
The people with a disability, they say, have $1 trillion that they're sitting on, and they have about $220 billion of discretionary income that they can spend. But if they don't know how to spend it or where to go and what to do with it, you know, again, what's out there? What's bringing them out to spend this money?
Mm-hmm. And travel is one of those great ways of doing that. Hey, were you going to say something? I'm sorry. You had a twinkle in your eye.
No, not at all. No, I mean, I just remember in the Boy Scouts with my son how much we enjoyed traveling. And it just brought, like you said, a twinkle to my eye. Mm. And I look back upon those fondly, doing all that camping and traveling to new places.
Well, you know, it's like that's what we liked about pitching a tent, more or less. You know, you have the campfire, you have other campers nearby, the kids are playing,
right.
You're doing a home-cooked deal. I mean, we went to one place, and we felt kind of out of place. Here was a big RV to one side of us, another RV on the other side of us, one behind us. We're in the middle with a tent and a tripod cooking chili.
I love it.
And, well, people are coming by and taking photographs. You know, I felt like, all right, you know, that's good, but there's a big distinction there. And a person has to find out what their comfort zone is. Now, when a person travels, everybody, you know, we pick the national parks as a destination because they're nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
And they offer a lot as far as education and experiences and things like this. But the three things that I look at when you're planning a little trip like this, number one, it depends upon the individual and the disability that they have or age-related difficulty.
Right.
So then you plan ahead. Then you pick out a destination like anybody else would that's not in a wheelchair. So let's say you're going to be going to Rocky Mountain National Park out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's your destination. But the thing about the people that have a disability or in a wheelchair, we now have to find an accessible room. And the accessible rooms are accessible, but the key word, are they functional? And if mm-hmm. they're not functional, it doesn't really matter if they're accessible or not. So if, as an example, I go to a place, in fact, it was up at the Sioux, there was a motel up there that we would go up to, and the bed height was at one particular height, which was good for me. I'm 6'8", I got a 38-inch arm when I wear a long-sleeve shirt, so I don't have any problem. So we get up there a year later, and the mattresses were replaced, and they were 6 to 7 inches higher than they were before.
Wow.
I didn't have a problem, but if somebody was 5'2 in a wheelchair
and
didn't know that was waiting for them, then as you can see how this starts to snowball on this deal here. Out to Glacier, now we've been out there, and they have like 6 lodges on the property. And of that, my quick calculations, there's like 396 rooms for everybody, but there's only 20 accessible rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Out of that 20, only 2 work for me.
Wow.
So you can see how traveling can become mm-hmm. a nightmare before you even leave your house.
Yeah, Ron and Kay Wilmers, by the way, are our guests. They're from Lapeer, Michigan, and they have a website called thedisabledtraveler.org. And Kay, tell us a little bit about what you offer through that website.
Well, we try to inform the clients that to be prepared. Know what you need to function properly in a strange environment. You need to have all of your medications. You need to have a list of your medications for the purpose of what happens if you spill them or you ran out, or something
right.
that those kind of things. We try to let them know in advance to check, you know, if you have any specific things like oxygen or anything like that, to prep yourself to know that in that area there is an oxygen replacement company.
Very important.
Yes, and possibly if you have equipment that you take yourself, be prepared for a flat tire. Be prepared for those kind of things. Be aware of your surroundings.
Boy, Ed, it sounds like the old Boy Scout motto, be prepared.
Exactly.
It really fits in here. Cal, you had a question?
Yeah, I had a question for you. You know, being the internet advisor, we're always talking about technology and stuff like that. And pardon my ignorance, but what do you normally use for technology when you're traveling, being somewhat disabled?
We just fly by the seat of our pants, more or less, because of what we find on the internet. Sometimes it's not really that way when you get there, more or less.
Yeah.
And that's why when we develop this website, the one thing that we're doing is that we're using what I call the universal language.
Ron, hang on a second. Okay. I want to pause for just a moment because I want to find out about some more of the things that you offer disabled and aged travelers and also talk about grand traveling. We'll do that when we return in just a moment with Ron and Kay Wilmers. We're talking with a couple of people who have their hearts set, both as disabled travelers themselves, Ron Wilmers being confined to a wheelchair since 1977. His wife, Kay, who is a home care nurse, has worked with him on this, have developed a site called thedisabledtraveler.org, thedisabledtraveler.org. And the part of it is, we talked about this, the Boy Scouts model of be prepared, but that really is what your heart is about, that people, before they head out on the road, find the information they need so that they can travel safely and enjoyably. And as you've pointed out a number of times, Ron, the fact that something says that it is accessible does not necessarily mean that it is functional. In other words, the Americans with Disabilities Act, the ADA, had certain requirements that people had to, if they had anything to do with the government or they were federally funded, et cetera, you had to have the ramp and the accessibility, et cetera. That did not necessarily mean that they were functional. Am I right?
Like I said, the ADA is very good, and probably the majority of the people can function out there.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're finding out is that to provide this information, and I was thinking about this while on break, is that your program parallels what we're trying to do, is use the internet.
Right.
Between 134 million people, 57 are disabled, and the other balance is age-related difficulties, baby boomers, and be the conduit through these internet technology for the national parks, so that there's an exchange of information, and it's a starting point through this internet website to where people can start researching, calling up and asking questions, getting more detailed information. We're just the starting point, and it's like the movie Field of Dreams. If you build it, he will come, and we're saying if you show it, they will come.
I love it. I love that attitude. Now, your site, by the way, let's talk about this a little bit. You're trying to, this is all your sweat equity. You and Kay have put your life savings into this kind of thing, and what you're trying to do right now is to raise funds through your site in order to be able to develop it further and to provide these resources for people who are disabled or who, because of age-related illnesses or circumstances, can't travel quite as nimbly as they used to.
Yeah, it's just like all these big corporations, the automotive, energy, gas, things like this, medical companies, pharmaceutical, financial, and things like this make billions of dollars off everybody. So we're just saying, can they give a little bit back? So that people can, they're keeping them healthy and being able to travel around, but let's give a little bit back so they can really plan a good vacation, get the information they need, mm-hmm. and then go out and enjoy themselves, especially with their kids and grandkids.
Now, your focus, Kay, this year is on the national parks, am I right?
Correct.
And they're coming up on their 100th anniversary, which is really neat.
Right. Yeah.
But they're also at a place where they are really suffering from, as you mentioned before, they have a $12 billion deficit in maintenance. And as a matter of fact, one of the curious things, guys, is that the national parks are being overwhelmed by more and more people who are coming by who love the parks. In other words, the parks are being loved to death in some ways.
They've been saving money and are putting off maintenance for so long. It is it too late?
And you got those two things coming together that they've been putting off the maintenance, and they now have this incredible flood of people coming in. And with the centennial of the national parks this year, it's going to be even more challenging.
Yeah. Now,
so I know that the national parks in particular are at your heart, and that there are some things that you want to do with your website for some of the national parks near us.
Yes, what we'd like to do, since we're a Michigan-based company, and if we can find funding within Michigan or something, we like to start out in Michigan shooting and posting the five national parks that we have here in Michigan.
I love it.
And a lot of people may not be aware of the national parks that we have here in Michigan. So this with the starting point, then you go to the Great Lakes area, and then before you know it, we're going out to Yellowstone, we're going out mm-hmm. to Glacier, we're going to these other mm-hmm. places where there's many, many people traveling to. But again, with this particular population, the more we can provide a preview, not give everything away, but enough to entice them so they can find out if their needs are being met.
Right.
And they are responsible for a lot of research themselves. Do not depend upon the destination to fulfill your needs.
No.
The person traveling has to take upon themselves the responsibility to start phone calling, doing more research on the internet, and things like this together, this type of information.
Ed, now, are you going to provide a means for, because that's valuable information that a lot of people, they use your place as a stepping stone, and are you providing a mechanism for them to provide additional feedback that you can incorporate on your website?
Mm.
Well, that's why we're also looking, if anybody's listening that would like to help develop the website with ideas or whatever, suggestions. It's tax deductible, and to sort of guide us. We have ideas and everything, but again, I'm not an expert on the internet and how all this works. Although right. that I do know, it has helped me when I need it, and it's out there. Now,
well,
it's a matter of getting it all put together to meet our needs.
You and Kay could use some help. In other words, you got the passion. You are a disabled traveler yourself. For years, you've been doing this on your own. And by the way, the site is called thedisabledtraveler.org.
You know, and that's typically the case, is you have someone that comes up with the idea, but they just don't know the nuts and bolts of it. And you have engineers and the technical people like me that have. I'm not a web developer, but back then, I mean, yeah, I have all these great ideas. I mean, I knew how to fix things, but I couldn't invent things. I wasn't the idea person.
Yeah, well, you said something here that I've used before. Like, let's say on one side, the national park's the nut. On the other side, it's the bolt. And we're trying to show how to put the two together.
Right, exactly. And by the way, there is a forum that you have on your homepage, I see there, that people could go and could comment, could maybe offer their services. So far, if there's somebody out there who would like to help this wonderful couple with web design, or would, you have contacts with people, for instance, in a healthcare organization or from one of the other companies that, for instance, is involved in specialty travel, this would be a great place to go and encourage them to help Ron and Kay Wilmer. I want to talk, Kay, about something that I know is near and dear to your heart, and I love the term. It's grand traveling. What is grand traveling?
Well, that's when the grandparents take their grandkids and leave their parents at home.
We kidnap them and spoil them. You know?
Yeah.
And we bring them back, but they're not the same person that we bring it back on sometimes like that. So,
times that's true.
Tell the story quickly of your grandson going and climbing the mountain in the Rocky Mountain Forest.
Okay, real quickly here, my son, the photographer, he's one of these people that climb mountains, hang from cliffs and frozen waterfalls. We were going out to Rocky, and he said, I'll take Josh up the Long's Peak. And we said, okay, well, Josh is our oldest grandson by my other son. So we got him the hiking boots, a backpack, and everything, and we're telling him about it. And he said, Grandpa, I can climb the mountain on a computer. And I said, Josh, you're going to have a wake-up call here. So we were traveling out there, and when he first saw the mountains, he just went crazy. And we met him at the campsite, and everything was being put together. And the next morning, they were going to get up, and along with my daughter-in-law, Kim, we took their two kids with us. And away they went, and we did put it on the website, the mountain climb, and Roger photographed the entire climb going up Long's Peak. And when he got up to the very top, it's just a spectacular view to see Josh standing there, all these mountains behind him.
10 years old.
Ten years old, and it was 14,259 feet to Long's Peak. And we go to the T-shirt shop to say, let's find you a shirt, Josh. Well, the smallest one was a small man, so they didn't have any for a 10-year-old. And what we're trying to get across is that you don't have to sit home, because if he came home with his grandpa, look at these photos. A photo is one thing, but when you're there at the campsite, it shows me cooking chili. You see the kids around the campfire roasting marshmallows, people coming by talking to you and things like that. It's a different experience.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, it is. And so he comes back home and he goes to his principal, I think, at school, and says, "I climb long speak." And he goes, "Well, that's nice. I'll go play." And then for his science project, he did it on altitude sickness, and that really impressed me.
I love it.
It's to see the expression these kids, and we went to a motel with an accessible room that worked for me. You can't find any other place to go except maybe on the holodeck on the Enterprise in Star Trek to experience something like this, you know.
Ron and Kay, I love what you've done. We've only scratched the surface here, folks, but if you have a passion for traveling, you maybe are older or you have somebody who is disabled, this is a great site, thedisabledtraveler.org, and they could use your help, whether it's a technical help or just to help them by donating something to help them to develop this website for other disabled folks. Ron and Kay, thank you again for being with us. We want to keep in touch with you and continue to follow your progress.
Okay, thank you very much.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you so much for being with us. Ron and Kay Wilmers.